It's a wonderful thing to see all the people coming in to God's house this morning. And you know where God's house is? It's where God's people are. And you remember when we were little kids, we used to do something like, this is the church and this is the steeple. Open the doors or something like that and see all the people. That's what it looks like to me this morning as I offer each of you grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ on this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, which means we're inching ever so closely to Advent. That's really about what it means. I am Pastor Mark McCormick, and we welcome those of you online. This service does originate from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I am joined by our worship team today, minus our music director, Barb Fuller, who, with her husband Jerry, are visiting their grandkids in Richmond, Virginia. I have grandkids in Richmond, Virginia, too. But they're more fortunate with that this morning, but they are going to celebrate Halloween with them. And so, in some sense, Halloween will be a little part of our service today. You'll have to wait and see. And, of course, we know what that's called in the church calendar, right? All Hallows Eve. There you go. All Saints Day occurs the day after, just so we know. So we have our worship team, our faithful production engineer who does such a great job in not only worship services, but so many other things that take place here, like weddings and sometimes memorial services. Thank you very much, Kim, for all your hard work. And we are joined today in the absence of the choir, special musicians, beginning with none other than Pastor Emeritus Dave Banfield, seated over on the piano, along with my dear wife, Deanne, who is seated this morning, at least for now, on the organ. And we have our special musicians today, which include those two, and also Lorraine Finneson and Shannon Quinn. So we are in for a wonderful service. As always, look forward to those special elements that do always occur. Art Ritter was ill, not feeling well last week. And in the interest of some degree of caution, he's not going to come until perhaps about 12:40 today. He will be probably wearing a mask, but he will share with us after our fellowship time in the Friendship Center. All of you are invited. There'll be some food, and then at noon, that presentation begins with what he has scheduled. I think it was, I can't remember what he's going to do today, but it's always interesting. Next week is All Saints Sunday, and as usual, we go back through the records. Lorraine leads the charge here to make sure that people that have been friends and members of you folks here at Mayflower Church, we've made note of that, but if there's someone that you may have been overlooked that has died within this last year, we'd like to know about that so we can include those people in our next necrology observance on All Saints Sunday next week. Also on November the 11th, you know that is Veterans Day, so the 11th, which is November, 11th month, on the 11th day, which is Veterans Day, at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary, the wonderful Veterans Day service will be held here, sponsored by the Daughters of the American Revolution, and that will include all the veterans being pinned, including surviving spouses, and all of the Vietnam-era vets will be given special recognition and a special pin on that day. So if you know any veterans that would like to be a part of that, it's open to all. It's advertised across the entire community of Lansing. Be aware of that. We are hosting that service. And if you came in this way, you may have noticed a plastic sheets, a sheet and a couple of boards, 2x4s, that make sure nobody fell out there where the hole is. And it looks like we're getting very close to having it all prepared for the lift that we'll be in very, very soon. And we're excited about that. Well, our theme today is like an ever-rolling stream, which is part of the verse of song that we will sing in a little bit. It's the passage of time. Now it is time to worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower. I told Mark this morning there might not be a dry eye in the house after our prelude today. It was wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, Indian summer didn't last very long, did it? Especially today. It may seem like a long time until warm weather returns in the spring, but as we know, time flies. Fortunately, we will have an extra hour of time next Sunday, so don't forget to set your clocks back. As we age, time seems to travel faster, but we are reminded by Albert Einstein that time is just an illusion. That thought is in keeping with our theme today, like an ever-rolling stream. In this one high hour of worship, we will make every effort to make it worth your time as we think about God's time, when 1,000 years are like a day. Let's take time to open our hearts and our minds and see what God has in store for us today. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we have taken time to enter your house, and we have already been rewarded by your presence and by the company of those within the beloved community. We thank you for good music which inspires us. We thank you for the scriptures which instruct and guide us. And we thank you for your gracious spirit, which helps our teachers and preachers share thoughtful insights from those scriptures. We pray that by the same spirit, you would help all of us to redeem the time we spend in worship and fellowship today by taking it into the world where we are always called to love and serve. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
I made a mistake last week when I referred to the dancing that occurred here after the benediction response, and I used the word restraint. And someone reminded me, Pastor, you don't need to use that word, restraint. Just let it fly, and it flew this morning. Also failed to mention that our liturgist today is none other than Roger Kennedy, as if you didn't know him. If you don't know him, you need to get to know him. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to get to know his wife either. Well, this last month, for for the last four Sundays, and it's been wonderful. We have made our commitments, and now it's time from here on out, but perhaps beginning also in 2024, to carry out those commitments, whatever they are, and however you have made them before God and each other. So with that, we now, in this holy act of worship, even though we don't pass the plates, we offer ourselves with the giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures to God. Thanks be to God. I would also be remiss if I didn't remind you that there are some folks working in the Friendship Center today and for previous time, helping out and delivering food for homeless people who would just appreciate a sandwich and a little box of tasty fruit juice and some of the other things that go in those sack lunches. So Roger Kennedy, Mary Muhammad, Ann McClellan, Tabitha, what's your last name? McClellan, yeah, McClellan. Fair enough. Linda Wheeler, Frank Wheeler, Ina Martin, Gail Sawyer, and Ruth Posh. And if I missed anybody, my apologies, but we do thank you for that. Let us now pause as we pray. Eternal God, and our loving Lord, we come to you in prayer as we always do on Sunday mornings, collecting the corporate prayers for the world that we bring. And quite frankly, O Lord, I admit that sometimes it's difficult to pray because some of the things going on are portrayed in the news with such a political effect that it can affect our prayers and cause dangerous misunderstanding. With that, Lord, I pray not only for the violence in the Middle East, but for all who suffer, for all who have been oppressed, for all who have lost loved ones, for all who are engulfed in a conflict that seems to go on forever. Now, Lord, you have told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You have also invited us to go not only into Jerusalem, but into every part of the world with good news. And sometimes, Lord, where the conflict is rife, it's difficult to go. And sometimes it's difficult to know how to pray. But for all of those in peril and in loss and in pain and in suffering, we pray for them, including all of the victims of the terrible repeated tragedy of another episode of gun violence. And Lord, it's so difficult to understand. It's difficult for me to understand, Lord, the attachment our society has to guns. But I pray that somehow, some way, in our society, we could do something, some great thing, to prevent the horrible tragedies that play out now almost every day. But we pray especially for those who suffer and for those who are administering relief and help and counseling and guidance to those who have suffered so greatly. Now, Lord, we always come back to home. We come back to our church. We come back to our families and our neighborhoods where the needs and sometimes the loss and suffering affect us so deeply and personally. And as we offer our prayers this morning, we shall not forget those that are upon our hearts, those whom we love, those whom we live with, those whom we work with, and many others, some of those to be mentioned now by first name. Lord, thank you for never getting tired of hearing our prayers and never tiring of hearing names, some of which we mention week after week because our prayers are steady and faithful. And we know, Lord, we serve a God, however mysterious it is, of steadiness and faithfulness and of love. And in that spirit of love, we now pray together as you have taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, 90 chapter, and verses 1 through 6, and verses 13 through 17. When we look back in time, we call it memories. When we look forward in time, we call it dreams. When we think of God's time, we think of eternity. When we put all these things together, we call it perspective. So hear now these words. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, O mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have been and seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. Thanks be to God.
Let us bow once again in a brief moment of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Amen. I'd like to include just a few verses that are not in the lectionary but are important for what I, for my perspective this morning, and let me read them to you, some of the middle portion of this psalm. Our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So, Teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Like an ever-rolling stream is the passage of time. We sang about it. Here's a sermon about it. I begin with some of my favorite quotes about time, beginning with a humorous. Time is a great healer, but a poor beautician. Well, I thought that was funny. Well, how about this one? Time flies like an arrow, fruit flies like a banana. Well, I'm still going to keep trying here. There's never enough time to do all the nothing you want. They're kind of getting it. The only reason for time is so that everything doesn't happen all at once. And if it weren't for the last minute, nothing would ever get done. More seriously, however, and ones that are specifically meaningful to me, regret for wasted time is more wasted time. The bad news is that time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. Time does not pass, it continues. And to say, I don't have time, is the same thing as saying, I don't want to. They say time changes things, but you actually have to change things yourself. And finally, in a prelude to my thoughts this morning, one day you're 17 and you're planning for someday, and then quietly, without ever really noticing, someday is today, and then someday is yesterday, and that is life. One of the grim reminders of the passing of time is the fleeting nature of youth. There were four women who had been close high school friends. And for a while after graduation, they had minimal contact for several years. When they were in their 40s, they decided that they would all get together. Where could we meet? Someone asked. One of those said, how about the Ocean View Restaurant? Another asked, why would we go to the Ocean View Restaurant? Oh, she said, they have some young waiters that are very cute. Sounds great, they all agreed. So they went to the Ocean View Restaurant. About 10 years later, when they were in their 50s, they decided they would all get together again. They wondered this time where they would meet, and someone asked, where are we going to meet? One of the four suggested, let's go to the Ocean View Restaurant. And the question others queried, why would we go to the Ocean View Restaurant? Well, someone said, they might still have some of those cute waiters, and the restaurant has such a beautiful view of the ocean. Okay, let's go to the Ocean View Restaurant. And they did. 10 years later, now in their 60s and having established a tradition, they all agreed, let's get together again. Once more, they asked each other, where are we going to meet? How about the Ocean View? The question was asked. Why would we go to the Ocean View? Asked another. Because they have the nicest prime rib and shrimp kebab, and their drinks are wonderful. They all agreed they would go to the Ocean View Restaurant, and off they went. 10 years passed once more, and they were in their 70s. We must get together again, they all agreed. Where are we going to go this time? The question was asked, how about the Ocean View Restaurant? Again, the question, why would we go to the Ocean View? Well, one of them said, they have plenty of handicapped parking spaces, and the ramp around the stairs will be great for our walkers. So they went to the Ocean View restaurant. 10 more years passed. Now they were in their 80s. They decided it would be good to get together again. Once more, they had to decide where they were going to meet. How about the Ocean View restaurant? Someone said. Well, why would we want to go to the Ocean View? Was the repeated question. The answer? Because we've never been there before. I think that's kind of funny too. Yeah. The days of our lives are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. And if you come to Mayflower, we could say almost 100. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. The brevity of life, which vanishes into the night with just a sigh, and the inevitability of death is painfully evident in this poem by a Jewish poet, the inscription given to Moses, but we know this was in place of Moses, but reflecting the idea when Moses asked God, "What are you going to do with my people?" Trying to hold off God's judgment. The reality remains, in spite of how many marathons we run, the diets we maintain, the habits we avoid, the doctors we see, and the spiritual disciplines we have. When you're 50, exercise is for vanity. At 70 and beyond, exercise becomes a necessity. Our biology is our destiny. And in spite of the best skills of our future morticians, nothing but dust awaits. Add to that the clarity now with our failures, faults and sins, which feels like a glaring exposure before a holy God, following the line of the psalmist here. In the verses not read, or the ones that were read, I should say, there is an acute awareness of the possibility of God's judgment, which amplifies a power disparity in the divine-human relationship. From the opening verse in this psalm, God is portrayed as so far beyond us in scope and scale that even at God's command, we may cease to exist. So, how does the psalmist, and indeed the Sunday morning preacher, change this picture of despair, hopelessness, and resignation? So teach us to number our days that we may gain a wise heart. Numbering our days is not the keeping of a calendar. It is the recognition of the gift of time, which properly understood is an aspect of wisdom. Beyond the usual lecture of using time wisely, being punctual, staying organized and keeping an orderly calendar or a neat desk, I would like to suggest some very human ways we can gain wisdom, gather perspective, and bridge the power gap between the human and the divine. First, get out the scrapbook. Anybody have scrapbooks? A lot of you do. Maybe there are pictures of your own childhood. That's kind of freaky for me. Somebody always wonders what happened to my hair. And when I walked into one of the later high school reunions, someone said they didn't recognize me until I opened my mouth. Maybe there are pictures that you have when your children were young. As evocative emotionally as that might be, think of the innocence and joy of childhood. Most notably, the sheer delight, uninhibited emotions, and unbridled joy which eludes us as we grow older. Jesus said something interesting here. Unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. I believe we miss this important, most important reminder that the very essence of faith is not the certainty we gain from experience, the knowledge we gain from education, or the natural maturation that accompanies age, but the qualities of awe and wonder and the ability to ask questions. Rather, it is the natural sense of trust in people we lose when we age. With childhood behind us, unfortunately, our trust in God sometimes vanishes or at least diminishes as we lose our faith and trust in others. Practically speaking, how do we, as adults, become childlike without becoming childish? A little confession is good for the soul. This is the scary part for me. After all, it's Halloween, right? The only two members of my family that have not been here at Mayflower in these last 6.5 years are my two sons, Bryce and Kyle. Now 41 and 38. That is going to change on December 17th, which is the weekend they chose, which will align with their schedules. They enthusiastically agreed to come and spend a weekend with Deanne and me just before Christmas, and it didn't hurt for me, Pops as they call me, to provide round-trip airfare from Richmond and Raleigh. And they'll be here for that weekend, and they're excited to come and meet all of you. In my journey with them as adults, I have discovered that one of my greatest faults when they were young was that I wanted them to grow up too soon, possibly due to the fact of my own childhood, when adult responsibilities, including financial obligations, were thrust upon me, beginning early in my teenage years. And that transferred expectations for my kids along that line, and those expectations were sometimes unreasonable. I have a vivid memory of something that happened 28 years ago this Tuesday. It was Halloween, when my oldest son, who particularly loved that holiday from the time he was just hardly a toddler, was nearing his 14th birthday. He told me he was going to go trick-or-treating that night with some of his friends when he put on a little costume, and I thought he was too old for that. In what became a verbal sparring match, I was stopped in my tracks when he made this statement. "Dad, please let me continue to be a kid." That experience is not lost on me as I approach the yearly celebration of Halloween. The neighborhood in which Deanne and I live receives as many as 200 trick-or-treaters every year. When teenagers come to my door, as they will on Tuesday along with the little ones, I now, in addition to the little ones, cheerfully give a full-size Hershey's candy bar to some of the teenagers I once thought were too old to be trick-or-treating. I even pony up for some of the adults that are there, many of them underprivileged, who bring their rusted-out minivans into the neighborhood for a rare night of fun and entertainment. And I hear those words again. "Dad, let me be a kid. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a wise heart." Another book that might deserve a second look is a yearbook. When's the last time you looked into your high school yearbook? Remember the promise of youth? The thrill of competition, whether it was in debate, forensics, athletics, or other, cheerleading? The discipline of education and the hope of the future, which always seems to elude us as we advance in age? One of the reasons the yearbook stays on the shelf or tucked away in a box is that it can often remind us of when the innocence of childhood was lost, when we began to feel the pain of peer rejection. and when we compared ourselves to the popular kids, the smart kids, or the rich kids. The exercise of peering into our youthful past can be painful as we think about the feeling that God no longer might have played a vital role in our lives, as we move from the carefree days of childhood to the cynicism we often develop as we traverse the dangerous transition into adulthood. This feeling of distance from God can be exacerbated when the guilt of lost innocence, lost virginity, and lost dreams translates sometimes into lost hope and broken dreams, which often last well past the threshold of adulthood. The beginning of wisdom might be the fear of the Lord, as the scriptures remind us. But the end of wisdom is in our asking, seeking, and knocking, as Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount. The Epistle of James in the first chapter gives further insight, as we are told that when we lack wisdom, we are to ask God, who gives it to us generously and ungrudgingly. And I kind of like what the King James used to say, God who will upbraideth not. In other words, God will not make us feel bad for not having enough wisdom. Sometimes we painfully put that on others as if to say, are you dumb or stupid? Or shouldn't you have known that? I have been guilty of that. Finally, the Apostle Paul puts God's wisdom into the perspective of time and eternity in the first chapter of his letter to the church in Ephesus, when he describes God's wisdom revealed in Christ, who by the giving of his very life's blood has provided forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. It kind of reminds us that the scrapbook and the yearbook would need to be accompanied by the good book. The beginning of wisdom is fear. The end of wisdom is forgiveness. In this mystery of wisdom granted by God, we find it reflected in each other, yes, indeed, in childlike playfulness. And that's one of my great parts of gratitude for this congregation. I can be playful with you and you with me, even when I get ragged on sometimes. Enveloped in a sense of recovered innocence, all offered to us in the example of sacrifice and grace in Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God has granted to me, as your pastor, the gift of the time that I have been able to spend with you. And God has given us this hour and perhaps a little more to spend together with each other. So with that knowledge, even when we mourn the passage of time, may we also rejoice in that gift of time that God has given to us all, now and for eternity. Amen. You know, Dave, if we took an offering today, if you had told us that you could be here all winter, I think we could raise a lot of money to pay you for what you do. But that isn't possible because this week Dave is leaving for Arizona, but aren't we privileged today, the wonderful gift that has been given, to have Dave accompanying Deanne on the... And how about that rousing duet by Lorraine and Shannon today? So, Gil, no restraint on dancing and celebrating. Okay, I promise. We celebrate our love for God, and one of the ways we do that is to celebrate and enjoy our love and care and support for one another as we now leave this place to continue in worship. For many, if you must leave, go in the peace and the grace of God. Amen.